This program is part of the Infinite Potato Alliance. Visit us at infinitepotato.com.
I'm Jared Stern.
I'm also Jared Stern.
And you're between two Sterns.
So how was your weekend?
My weekend. I don't know what the hell's happening to me, man. I feel like I've been run down with no energy for the past, I'd say 2 weeks. Honestly, ever since daylight savings, I just feel like I've been so sluggish. I had a friend of mine's birthday on Sunday. This has not happened to me in years. So just stay with me. We go to a dive bar brewery type of thing. It's like a 50-minute drive away. We drive up there, me and Julie, for this friend of mine's birthday. Who listens to the podcast. So happy birthday again, Stephanie. And so we get there. I have two IPAs, nothing too heavy.
Yeah.
I finish off the other half of Julie's beer. She turns to me, she goes, you know, it's your friend's birthday. Why don't you drink? I'll drive us back home. So that I was like, that's great. We got there about like 12:30, right? So a little day drinking Sunday afternoon outside, two IPAs, half of a stout and a Pilsner. And this is what the rest of my day looked like. We left at about 4:30. So like, it's not like we were there for we weren't there for like a condensed amount of time where I'm chugging these things. I sleep in the car on the way home, right? So I'm passed out in the passenger seat. We stop off at a little food court to get food. I have just enough energy to go in there and get like a coffee. I take a couple of sips of the coffee, go back into the car, sleep in the car from the food court back home. She had some sort of like online class she was doing that night. I lay on the couch. I pass out on the couch for 2.5 hours, right? Then I wake up with just enough energy to drag myself upstairs, take a shower, head in bed by 9:30 at night. And I pass out I must have slept for 15 hours. I swear to God, I'm either getting old or I have mono. Like, I don't know what the hell is happening, but I've been sluggish all day. It's concerning to me.
Well, so what was the... Were you aware of the alcohol content of the beers that you had?
Nothing too crazy. Honestly, it's just been, I've been back to the gym. I think that I'm just trying to like work out, get myself into shape, waking up early for work. Work's been very busy. And so I just think it's the perfect storm of a lot of combinations. But this is why I'm drinking water today. I'm not drinking any alcohol.
So that's not a Tito's brand vodka or anything
What is this? This is Tangerine LaCroix.
So yeah, water.
LaCroix for you and your family. I don't know. However we would advertise LaCroix.
Right. It's LaCroix gentrified Sprite.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So you said you had something going on. What's happening?
It's not necessarily anything going on. I just need confirmation that I'm not a complete moron.
Okay. Okay. Well, you've come to the right place.
And you've been one of the best sounding boards for this the last couple of weeks. So here we go. So flipping channels the other day.
Right.
And The Wizard of Oz was on TV.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Classic. Yeah. But although I'm not sure if it's quite the cultural touchstone for the current generation as it was for maybe ours. I know that it was a really big deal.
Timeless, right? Timeless.
Yeah. You would think it'd be timeless. Right. But I think because we grew up in an era where black and white TV and movies were not so far away.
Right.
And the idea of her knocking her head in black and white and waking up in Technicolor, that was kind of a big deal. And so I think in our brains, it could still have been a big deal because we, you know, grew up with reruns of I Love Lucy and stuff like that. So I'm watching The Wizard of Oz. Yeah. Right. How many times would you say you've seen The Wizard of Oz over your lifetime?
I probably have seen the film maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I probably watched it a bunch as a kid. I can't put a number on it.
Countless number of times.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I'm watching the other day and something jumps out at me that I've never noticed before.
All right. Oh, okay.
Go ahead. And I want you to tell me if I'm the idiot here. Okay. And because I've gotten mixed responses to this. So I'm watching it. And when Dorothy and Scarecrow and Tin Man and the Lion approach the Emerald City, they knock on the door and the guy opens the porthole and says, nobody comes to see the wizard. Not nobody, not no how.
Yep.
You know? And then the same guy says, bust my buttons.
Yep.
Right. And then a little further in, they reach the guard at the Wizard of Oz's chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Something I never noticed. Just literally, I was yesterday years old when I came to the realization that the guy in the door and the guard are the wizard. They're the Wizard of Oz. Same actor, different mustache, different hair color, same actor. Now, I put this out on Twitter. I put this out on Facebook. Yeah. I cannot believe that I've just now noticed this. And a lot of people are giving me, oh, yeah, well, did you know he was also the guy who was in black and white? When you mean,
yeah, yes, well, I know there was in black and white. That's the gimmick.
Yes, I know they're dual roles in The Wizard of Oz. I get that. I'm not a complete moron. But I didn't realize there were quadruple roles in The Wizard of Oz. And to me, this is like a big twist. This is a big M. Night Shyamalan. And for 1939, this was a big deal. You know, the fact that he was curating who sees him, like there were that many levels you had to get through to see the wizard, because it was the guy at the door, it was the guard, it was the big illuminated head and a curtain. Those were the things. There were that many layers to get to the Wizard of Oz.
So I did look
spoiler alert, by the way. Sorry.
Go ahead. So I did look it up just now, as I often do whenever we have these conversations. You're right. This guy's played like every character once you hit the Emerald City.
Sure. Now,
the question I have, first of all, it's marvelous, because I've never noticed this before either. So you're not crazy.
Okay, and good.
Should be celebrated. Like, who is really thinking that Frank Morgan, who is the name of the actor, is playing all these characters? But I think you've unlocked a larger conspiracy, which is, does the actor play multiple roles, or is the character every person of authority in the Emerald City? This way he can never be questioned.
Right.
Now, what I'm also noticing is the guard, the gatekeeper, the carriage driver, none of them occupy the same room at the same time. So is he just you want to see the wizard? Hold on 1 second. Munchkins, leave him to the wizard. And then but like Benny Hill, like running around, ripping off mustaches, throwing on hats.
Yeah, so there's he has like four separate costume changes then, from door to carriage to guard to, and then to just being the guy. But yeah, so I got a mixture of, the reactions were head exploding emoji.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, dude, duh. Like, come on. Haven't you seen the movie?
People need to get better at celebrating other people's joy. Even if you know that something is that way, like, celebrate somebody else's joy. If you already know a piece of information, right, and somebody else is discovering it for the first time, this is your opportunity to live vicariously through their first experience with it. Like, for those who are shutting Jared down, you are the people who I hope don't have children. Because like when children come up to you, you're like, Mom, Dad, did you know if you mix blue and green together, you get... That's not
brown, probably, actually.
If you mix blue, I'm so tired. If you mix
yellow and blue,
together, you get green. You are the people who are like, of course you do, you moron. I've known that for years. Why are you sharing something so stupid with me?
And maybe it was just because when you're a kid, you don't think to pay attention to those kinds of details the way that adults now do, looking for Easter eggs and stuff like that.
Right.
But I think I just, maybe because whenever I watch The Wizard of Oz, I just kind of tap into my lizard 5-year-old brain and just kind of watch it through that lens. But I was like, man, that voice sounds familiar. Those apple cheeks look familiar. Holy shit, that's the wizard.
I remember watching it. And when she came back to reality, finding it odd that she didn't bring up that everything was in color. Like, that seemed like a big talking point. She'd be like, guys, there were these colors. Like, you don't even understand. Like, there are yellows. I had a whole song about a yellow brick road. Even though I'm coming from black and white, I don't even know what yellow is. I didn't even know where it came from. Emerald City? She's talking.
Yeah, it was so much better than good old Gray City, Kansas we got down the street.
Gray, Kansas, hypothetical fantasy tornadoes. You know, whatever, God, what's it called? Where you pass out.
A coma?
No, where you pass out on
fainting?
No, not fainting.
Narcolepsy?
Narcolepsy. I kept thinking nymphomania, and I'm like, that's a different thing.
That's different, but
completely different Wizard of Oz movie found on completely different websites. But not necromancy. That's when you come back from
that's when you can raise the dead.
Raise the dead. Narcolepsy, that's right.
Yes.
Narcoleptic black and white fake twisters, and just you and like 20 men. Like, that's your entire life on a farm. It's just, you're a young girl. I have no idea what the family breakdown of Wizard of Oz was.
It was Auntie Em and Uncle Henry. So one would assume that her parents had either abandoned her or were dead.
You know, this is a huge pivot, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. We started watching a show this week, which is remarkably fantastic. Just, we went into it with no expectations whatsoever. Have you seen Glow?
Oh, well, I haven't seen the Netflix series, but I grew up watching the female wrestling show it was based on.
What?
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Yeah, I used to watch that all the time.
I watched a little bit of wrestling growing up, probably up until about third grade. So I watched a lot of like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage. Sure. Just the friends who I hung out with were into that type of thing. And I was kind of into it for a while too. But I got to tell you, I highly recommend this show. I really think you'd enjoy
it. Yeah, it's one of those shows that it's on my my never ending list. But you say you used to watch wrestling when you were in third grade. I still do. I'm a wrestling.
I'm not insulting you. I'm just the way you deliver.
No, I know. I'm what they call a mark. I still watch it on a semi regular basis.
Okay.
WrestleMania is actually this weekend.
What?
Yeah. And it's, do you have the Peacock?
I got something that can Peacock. Should I watch just WrestleMania for you with no context whatsoever?
Yeah, no context whatsoever.
And talk Mark, about this with you next
here's the
week.
Thing. Here's the thing. Like, WWE now is not what WWF was when you were watching it. Like, one thing that WWF was great at back in the 80s, well, they were more about the spectacle, and they were a lot more cartoonish, very character-driven, very stereotypical character-driven.
Yep.
And they built their stories. When you watched WrestleMania, you were watching a story that had been brewing for a year.
Yeah.
Like when it was Hogan versus Andre, they built that shit up from like the day after the last WrestleMania up until then. Like they made you want it.
Yep.
And now, because obviously the wrestling audience knows more about what happens behind the scenes of wrestling, it is not it is not this mystery. There's never any illusion that it's
real.
You know, well, it here, so
here's and what I understand like. that real is subjective. Like, I understand that they are actually doing the moves.
Yes, they are athletes.
Physical. Yeah, there's an element of physical. I don't mean it that way, but like,
sure, no. But you know, back in the day, the level of athleticism today is head and shoulders above what it was back in the 80s. These guys can go. And so there is it's choreographed. It's not fake. It's predetermined. It's not fake. They're telling a story in the ring. It's like, it's really brutal ballet, which is an odd way of putting it. But I would recommend watching WrestleMania only to see how far it's come athletically.
I'll give it a shot.
Because these guys do some of, and the women too, because women's wrestling has also in the last, I'd say 5 years, progressed light years as far as accepting women wrestling for wrestling and not just for blatant sex appeal.
It's odd that you haven't seen Glow because you are quoting it directly in what you're saying right
now. Sure.
Because the whole premise of the show is a bunch of out of work actresses who can't get work because they're not talented enough or they have a specific type that they're not filling. Mm-hmm. And so they are creating Glow, which is Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just that they need to teach themselves how to wrestle. They need to figure out what it is that wrestling is, you know, that it is telling a story. And without spoiling anything, you know, what they eventually learn is that wrestling is fighting mixed with soap operas. Mm-hmm. And they actually talk to a couple of male wrestlers and they joke and they're like, No. We steal a lot of our plot lines from soap operas. We watch them all the time. They're the most absurd plot lines possible. And so we incorporate them into the characters that we're dealing with. Because like one wrestler, his arch nemesis, the heel, if you will.
Yes, the heel, right.
Kidnapped his wife and brainwashed her into being in love with him. So every match is the guy trying to convince the wife to come back to him. He pretends like she's going to. And then she throws sand in his eyes or hits him with a chair. And it's this whole over-the-top spectacle. So, one other anecdote that I was going to share with you, we could use it as a segue, but something kind of funny happened to me and then we can bring
Chris. Go for it.
So I'm at the Mazda dealership. I had to take my car in and they were like, oh, it's going to be like 10, 15 minutes. And a couple of people who have been listening to the podcast, thank you very much, have started at the beginning. And I've been getting like kind of play-by-plays where they're like, wow, the first episode's really cool. Like listening to the two of you. And I was like, that's like 12 weeks ago. I don't remember the first episode at all. I mean, it's a long time ago, but it's also a short time ago. So I went back and started listening to the first episode. So there I am, car dealership, my headphones in, my mask on, and I'm sitting there waiting. And I get right to the part where, and I don't know if you remember us talking about this, where I was talking about when I first moved out to California. And I would moved out with these two guys. I was 23. I moved out with this guy who's 27 and his older brother. And the older brother had essentially blown most of our money on coke because nobody had told me that he was a recovering coke addict, with less emphasis on the word recovering and more on the coke addict part. Sure. Now, I'm repeating myself almost word for word. And you'll notice that the word coke and coke addict are pretty much rapid fired. They're tightly packed within about a 12 second time frame. Sure. It was at this point that the dealership guy decided to go, excuse me. And I went, excuse me. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. And I didn't even hear him. I pull my headphones out. The headphones disconnect from Spotify. And all of a sudden in the Mazda dealership, as loud as it can, starts blasting, coke addict. Yeah. And nobody bothered telling me that he was a recovering coke addict, but an actual coke addict. And I was like, I'm so sorry. But I'm in California, so everybody's now looking at me like, hey, I should talk to this guy after he's done getting his car.
Right, sure. This guy's a connection, obviously.
This guy might have a connection somewhere. At which point I casually said, listen to Between Two Sterns. But yeah, it was a good little moment. If you haven't had a chance, go back and listen to some of the earlier stuff. I think you'll be amused by where we started and how our energy and our rhythm really hasn't changed.
Sure. No. I'm constantly amused by how we've progressed and where we came from and what this has become. And
really the only thing that has changed between you and I is the difference between us saying, have we already talked about this? Versus us knowing that we hadn't already talked about this. That's the only shift in what's going on.
I don't know that we've repeated ourselves a lot topic-wise. I do know, and I know this because you've called me out on it, like I've used a turn of speech or a joke that I may have used, like, you know, in the first three episodes, I repeated it and you said, yeah, you said that already. Like,
we'll just call it a callback.
It was a callback, but I also, I edited that out.
Well, that's the other difficulty is that, you know, some of the stuff you cut out, and this is actually, we've talked about this in the prior podcast. Sometimes I've talked about things in prior podcasts, but they haven't made it in. And I just don't have the time to listen to all 11 episodes leading up to this before we start to know. But as Jared has put it, this is our first official moment bringing a guest onto the show. Jared, he is a friend of yours, so I'll let you introduce him. But
good buddy of mine. We came up together as comics in the DC Virginia scene at Wiseacres, and now he is a real big degenerate gambler, and so much so that he's trying to teach other people to be just like him. Welcome everybody to the program, Mr. Chris Colosi.
What is going on, boys? I'm very, very excited to be Between Two Sterns this eve.
How you been, man?
I've been fine. I heard you mention Wiseacres. Were you saying something before introing me about the Wiseacres days?
I was just saying that's where we first probably encountered each other back in the old open mic scene in DC.
And I listened to your intro or your tease of me last week saying that that like I was a lapsed comic or whatever. And the reason that is I went, okay, I did well, and then was fearful to ever not do. Like the best thing you could do is suck ass because you can only go up. I did well. And then Mike's like, I want you to come host, and I want you to, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I never really like got fully into it. And then Eric, may he rest in peace, when he and I reconnected, he brought me to places like I would never be able to get in on my own. So like I feature for him at the Richmond Funny, but like I've always been able to do it. But the idea of like putting my name on a list and standing in line and waiting, and it was sure, one of my regrets. I wish I could get back into it, but I feel like I don't know anyone. I'm not connected, and I don't want to go through all the steps. So anyways, it's enough about me. How are you guys?
I'm curious though, because I've seen how you've kind of transformed over the years. Did you just find out you were really good at gambling, or what brought you into it is what it is?
I've never claimed to be like the best at gambling or anything like that, but I am a gambler in the sense of I understand there's nothing about gambling that I don't understand and that I don't know. So to answer your question, from a very young age, you want to know how you turn your kid into either of you have kids? You don't have kids, right, Jared?
No,
not that I know of.
Neither, and you, none that you know of. Okay. So here's how you turn your kid into a gambler without meaning to. So I come from an Italian family. My parents from the Lower East Side of Manhattan, but I was born here, but they never lost their accent. So if you hear any of that, these, that stems, those come out of here. That's where that comes from. I, you know, so when I was younger, you know, my grandfather liked to go to the track and stuff and bet the horses. Okay. And I remember being like young and like being in a trifecta, not even know what it was.
Sure.
And by the end of the day, at like 8 years old, I was like, give me the 2-4. I want you to box it. Give me a superfecta. I want the 2 with the 3. I want to play. Okay. And I hit one. Just like beginner's luck. And he gives me like the money. He gave me like $400, which to me was like, oh, my, are you kidding me? I'm 8 years old. Right. And we used to play poker. We get together at the grandparents' house in Jersey and we would play like poker with all the family. And no matter whether I won or lost, I always got all the pennies at the end. Right. So like I always won.
It's a pretty good deal.
But that's not good. You don't want to go in. I always win.
Right.
So I kind of had this desire of like winning money and how fun it was. And my dad's also a mathematician. All right. And so even though I'm not a math genius by any means, some of that blood's in there though, where I see statistics, I kind of understand them. When's a good time to go against the grain and blah, 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 blah. So shortly, when I was young, and like in grade school, there was this video game called WWF at the time, Royal Rumble for
N64. That is so funny that you brought that up. Cause we just
talking about that before I got up.
Well, talking about wrestling.
We just spent like 10 minutes talking about how wrestling has progressed from WWF to the now WWE.
By the way,
thank you for wrapping it up in a nice little bow. I love that game, by the way. It's a good game.
I remember playing that game. Yeah. I played the rest. Like before we had you on the podcast, we actually talked about the format we wanted to do it in. Because originally we were like, maybe we'd bring you on first. That way you're not sitting there waiting until we're done. And we both agreed that we didn't want what you said to kind of sway our topic of conversation that we talk about it. It's just insane that you brought up wrestling out of nowhere. Cause Jared and I've never talked about wrestling in, you know, 12 episodes of talking with each other. So there you go.
So we would play this game, but I bet you guys didn't play it the way we did. Me, a buddy of mine, and his 2 brothers, we play the Royal Rumble mode where you take control of the guy. Uh-huh. And then when they get thrown out or pinned or whatever, another guy comes in, you have now control of that guy.
Yeah.
But what we would do is for every person you eliminated by throwing them over the top rope, that would be like worth $1.
Okay.
And then everyone that you pinned was worth $2, and everyone you submitted was worth $3. At the end, they would tell you how many people you pinned. And we would, and we're 11, 12, like with our lunch money and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's something that shouldn't have been going on, but we loved it. So, and it's strange to me because I heard that you guys don't really know anything really about gambling. And that is so foreign to me because every person that's like a close friend of mine knows everything there is to know. It's almost like being like a heroin addict, which is not a good comparison, but we're like, everyone knows like all the lingo and whatever.
Sure.
And it blows my mind that I'm like, how do you guys not know what this is? So maybe we should start there and I can teach you some things.
I think that in order, you must be good at gambling because if you're good at gambling, then it's a profession. But if you're bad at gambling, it's an addiction. And you consider you're coming on to talk about it. I don't know if you're actually coming on for us to intervene on an addiction right now. So I'm assuming that there's some sort of professional component to what's going on.
It's probably a little bit of both. I think Norm McDonald said it the best when he went, gambling is the only disease you can have where you can win a bunch of money.
I always found the sports betting, it seems so intimidating to me, you know, because you have all the numbers with the plus and the minus, and there was a lot to take in. I'm a poker player myself. So I've been to Vegas many, many times, cashed in some tournaments. The one time that I actually had a shot at I did some actual like betting on a sporting event. This was back during the UFC boom, like back when Ultimate Fighter was on TV. And me and a bunch of other comics, we went to go see the big UFC event where I think Forrest Griffin was fighting Rampage Jackson. That was the big main event. So they talked me into doing a 7-fight parlay.
Okay. That'll never hit again.
I got the first fight wrong. I got every other one right, including the upset Forrest Griffin over Rampage Jackson. I would have won like $750.
That's almost always the way it goes, by the way. If you have a 14 parlay, you're going to hit 3 of them. If you have a 15 parlay, you're going to hit 4 of them. If you have a single game, you're probably miss an hour.
Yeah.
Hey, while I look off screen and look up what a 7-fight parlay is, how do you spell parlay? Because I'm getting a lot of suggestions for parlors.
A lot of pirate stuff probably too.
Yeah. I believe it's P-A-R-L-A-Y.
That is correct.
Well, that's not how I'm spelling it.
How else would you spell parlay?
I don't know. I put an E at the end of it.
You go like with a French. Yeah, you did. You did like a woofy accent thing.
Yeah, I tried.
Well, so you were talking about the odds. So for you guys and the listening audience, I can explain odds in a very quick, it's not gonna be very funny, but I can explain it to you in a very quick way.
Please.
So there's so many bets you can make. You can bet on players, you can bet on home runs, you can bet on touchdowns, you can bet on everything. They'll give you a line on anything.
Right.
But your basic three bets for like a beginner is what is known as the money line, the over under, and then the total or the spread. Okay. So what the money line means, what these numbers represent, these are American odds. If you see a number with a plus next to it, that represents how much betting $100 would win you.
Oh, okay.
So you see something that says plus 200, it means if I for every 100 I bet, I win 200, or for every 50 I bet 100. But that's the multiple.
Okay? Gotcha.
If you see a minus number, like minus 125, that's how much you have to bet to win $100.
Okay. See, that's so, seeing the minus there, that's one of the things that always like I've never understood.
So if you see a plus, everything's based on 100, but if you see a plus, that's what you win. If you bet 100, if you see a minus, that's what you have to bet to win 100. So if I'm playing LeBron James at basketball one-on-one, and I don't think I need to even mention how unathletic I am, just the fact that I am a white Italian should let you know I'm not going to win that game.
Impressive that you got the game going in the first place, by the way.
Right. I don't know how I swung it. I really don't.
He had an opening in his schedule that day.
I got to do a quick aside. Speaking of LeBron James, I was trying to fall asleep the other day, and I went on this app called Calm. And I was looking for rain sounds, and one of the rain sounds said curated by LeBron James. I'm like, this guy everywhere. Like, he's got basketball, he's got clothing lines, he's got game show. Like, he's got to be in the rain game. Like, I was amazed.
Is it just raining threes? Like, is that
there? You go.
Rain. There you go. You probably tied it all together. It's just a rain thing. He picked the rain sound. I don't know. I digress.
Okay.
So for me to win outright is never going to happen. So my odds might be plus 10,000. You bet $100 on me. But his odds will be minus 50,000. You got to bet 50K to win 100. So that's if you don't want to deal with the points or anything, because it's so clearly that this person is going to win the game outright. Now, when you come to a point spread is going to have the same odds, but usually they're minus 110 on both sides traditionally. The idea being, if you want to say I am as good as LeBron James.
Right.
If you want to take me plus 3 points, Jared, at plus 3, and other Jared, I can't differentiate.
It's all right.
If Jared I know, which is Jared Stern, wants to take him plus 3 at minus 110, so you give the place $110 to win 100, and then other Jared that I don't know from California wants to take LeBron minus the 3 points, also at minus 110. Each of you have given the casino $110. And when you get your money back, you're going to get back 210, and the casino is going to keep that 10 bucks.
Gotcha.
Okay. So they want to get odd. They want to get the same amount of money on both sides, essentially. So they win like no matter what. So those are the basics of those numbers and basic bets. All bets are going to have those odds, excuse me, next to them.
So what do you look for in a bet to make it, I mean, there's obviously no such thing as a sure bet, but what do you look for to make a bet appetizing to you?
Well, I got heavy into the daily fantasy side of it for a while, and I had some really big, big wins. I had a $100,000 win in the NBA in 2015. I don't know where any of this money is now, but in 2015, I won $100,000 a tournament, then I won another 50, and then I won another 25. So I had a good year that year. And I really started to get into the research side of things. So there are websites, one that I used to work for, rotogrinders.com, that once I stopped like winning at daily fantasy, they kind of cut me loose. Like, cause it's all, what have you done for me lately? Kind of thing. There's this theory kind of that the public is stupid because Vegas always wins. With my Patreon page that I started, that's more of just like a fun place to, I tend to win over time. So it's just bet everything I bet at a ratio that's the same as mine. If you can't bet exactly what I bet, if I'm betting $100 a game and you can only afford to bet $10 a game or whatever, make sure the ratio is the same, bet everything I bet. And over time, I tend to go this way.
So I probably got about 12% of that. But what I have realized, is just by listening to you, is that all the stock market is gambling. The entire- Because just Julie plays the stock market, and my eyes glaze over pretty much in the same way when she talks about that as when Chris talked. And there's no question that both of you know what you're talking about, but the stock market is legalized gambling. I'm correct in this, right?
Yes, yeah, it's not even almost not that. Like,
what you're saying is the exact same thing. You're just substituting different, whether it's stocks for games, whether it's, you know, over under for. It's the exact same thing. I've never known this before.
The only like kind of difference there is the concept of in the market, because I'm in the market too. And the only thing that I would say is different is that when you lose money in the market, it's not necessarily really gone, because the stock can always come back unless it goes bankrupt.
Sure.
So if you still own the shares, when you put $1,000 in a stock and it goes down 50%, you lost half your money, but can always come back. You put $1,000 in a game and it loses, that's it. So unless you're playing it the same way, i.e. the way it would be exactly like a stock market is if you look at a stock and you're able to see over time, like this stock goes up 1 or 2% in either direction every day. That's kind of like the average that it moves.
Right.
But if you had a bankroll and you bet 2% of it every day, then it would kind of be the same thing. Cause you can go on a streak, it can come back, but you can't throw your whole wad at one thing and then have it go poof. Which I do all the time. It's some of the most fun. The chase is some of the best. I was down 5,100 over the last. I started out, I won 13K over the last like 15, 16 days. And then I pissed away 5,100 like over the next 4 days. I had one of my subscribers leave me. And then I hit like a 5-game parlay that paid 7,100. So it's a journey, man. It's a marathon.
Yeah, it's an ebb and flow. It's a marathon, not a sprint, but a
roller coaster ride.
Yeah, the heart attack for me comes when you lose the 5,100, though.
That sounds exhausting. What I hear is that you had $5,100 and then you didn't. That's the part where my brain goes, probably could have just held on to that 5,100. That looks pretty good right there.
What's so funny about that? So
and by the way, before you respond, I know that this is the case because you said within the past 10 minutes the following words to me. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I made 100K and then I made 50K on top of that. I have no idea where that money went. That sentence alone triggered an anxiety attack within me. I was like, how did you lose $150,000?
The first win I ever had ever. DFS Daily Fantasy Sports on DraftKings. Shout out to DraftKings.
Are we sponsoring DraftKings in this episode, or are we just demonstrating?
Well, no, but they hired me one because I've worked for different like outlets for a short period of time, and they've always been very good to me. So screw it, I'm giving a shout out.
We'll tag DraftKings in this. We're trying to get sponsorship wherever we can.
Go. I won a baseball thing for 25 grand, like the first like 4 days I ever played. Dumb luck, right?
Right.
And then I went to the casino. And I pissed it away playing blackjack. And I'm thinking, I'm also a very good blackjack player. Losing 25,000 doesn't sound like I'm a good blackjack player, but I am. but I lost the money. And but in my mind, I'm going, okay, well, that's just going to kind of write itself off for tax purposes because they're both like gambling activities. but DraftKings and Daily Fantasy Sports is not considered a gambling activity.
So I was going to bring this up earlier, but this is kind of a good segue. When you were talking about playing the wrestling video game with a friend of yours, or with a friend of yours, I think, and Jared, I might not have established this for you, there is a difference between gambling and betting. I am happy to bet on things that I think I have the capability of winning. I don't like gambling on things that I have no control over. So like
betting on yourself versus betting on like,
I'll play poker because I have I am involved right. Or I'll play blackjack. Or when I was younger, the game that I bet on was GoldenEye on N64.
Oh, great game.
If my brother is listening to this, he will remember a time when I became so good that his friends would not play me because I would win. So I would have to put money on top of the table, give them three of the screens, and I would play against all three of them. And if they won, they could take the money. And if not, we would go on. So to me, that's not gambling, that's betting. And I think that, or whatever the two terms are.
Anything that is where I believe the official like terminology or whatever is if it is a more luck-based game than a skill-based game. Okay. And even though poker doesn't fall into that, for some reason, poker is still kind of, I mean, eventually I think it'll be fine, but poker is still kind of fallen into this place where they're calling it a skill game, but it's still not really legal. There's one site that you can use that has like a workaround where, get this, you deposit money and you get, it's completely legal. You get coins and then you can play with the coins and then you can use those coins to redeem prizes. One of the prizes you can redeem is one for cash on your
coin. I was going to say it's cash. So is this your main profession? Is this how you're making money right now?
No, I don't do anything. Like I have parents that are like way too nice to me and I never grew up. I'm a full blown Peter Pan. So yeah. Is it the way I earn, you know, some pocket money, some spending money. And if I can ever get on like a really nasty run again or whatever, sure.
Yeah.
But it's always kind of like, I mean, not paycheck to paycheck kind of thing. It's ebbs and flows. And I'm a recluse. I don't like to do anything. I don't even need a lot of money, really. Like, I just kind of sit in my house and watch television and bet on games because you're never bored if you like to gamble. Because it's like, what's going on? Well, something's on. I was betting tennis in the Ukraine the other night. Just like, yeah, this guy, that guy, the best dude. It's the
okay. So I think maybe. Maybe you do have a problem, Chris.
I was going to say, Chris, you are riding the hell out of this line between sounding like a fully functioning human man and then also being like, this guy clearly has an addiction. Like I asked, to give you an example, I asked, is this how you make money? Is this your job? And your immediate response was, no, I've got really good parents. what are you talking about? Really they pay for everything. I sit in bed, I smoke cigarettes, and I play fantasy games. Now, which, by the way, like, seems like a pretty decent life.
Yeah, I'm not even almost a child. I have no desire to. People always go like, why won't you move out? I told my parents, they're like, you're 38 years old. Aren't you embarrassed by? I'm like, absolutely not. I'm like, I'm Italian, and Italian women treat their Italian sons like kings.
Yeah.
Like these people all over the world are trying to like work as hard as they can to someday, maybe, hopefully, you'll be able to afford maybe a private chef, a private shopper. I was born with one. Her name's Mom, and she's an angel, and I love her. Never want to leave. I never want to leave, ever.
Speaking of funding your lifestyle, where can people find your Patreon?
Yes, please do.
It's patreon.com/Colosi. I've also got a puppet that I call the Major, because when I was on DraftKings, or not DraftKings, RotoGrinders, I was their closing like before lineup lock guy. If you would have asked me this guy, and I had a show on there for like a year and a half, 2 years, where I actually got paid to do it. And like I said, then that went by the wayside. So now I'm doing this thing, patreon.com/Colosi. I don't guarantee I'm gonna win like anything, but I keep my chart and I look at it almost like a stock, because that's another thing. Like you were saying, like a stock.
Yeah.
If I'm going up, 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 and I can't win forever, if I say A, go B. Like, it's kind of like just a place where, do you want to get in and invest on me now, or do you want to go against me? It's just a place, and no one does that. That's the thing that's about that. There's so many snaky motherfuckers that just scream, you know, winnies, winnies, winnies. Whatever I bet, I show that win or lose, I'm willing to take the risk as well. Chances are, if you're someone who's paying for picks, you're not like a big, huge gambler. Some guy betting $5 a game isn't coming in. He thinks he knows what he's doing. Part of the fun of it is wanting to pick your own thing. But if you're someone that bets a little bit, it's like, take solace in I'm going to win you money or I'm going to do worse. So like, it's almost like it's hard to hate me, which sounds so arrogant, but it's like, I'm losing too. Like I'm just trying to help, but you know, what are you going to do? But right now I'm on a tear. I won my two bets today. I think I'm ahead like 300-400 today. And if Gonzaga can get their shit together, which I don't think they can, but if they do, I'll win some more money. So it's been a good day. Can I tell my $100,000 blackjack win story? Do we have time?
Please.
Yeah. I think that's a great story. Let's do it.
Okay. So I had come into some settlement money because of a tragedy. Don't need to get into that. But it was money that like I didn't even really want, like as a result of what had happened. I lost my brother. So I had all this money in my checking account that like I almost didn't even like fucking want. So in the back of my mind, it's kind of like, you know, my poor brother's death, you know, is giving me this money. I want to do something smart with it. But at the same time, like, it's almost like I feel bad even having it. It's a whole struggle that's not humorous for the show. It's a whole soul search. My brother. Anyway, so I start going to Atlantic City more. And now I can point to a checking account that's got like a lot of money in it.
Yeah.
And so they started extending with no job, like no income or anything. And they didn't give a shit. So they gave me like a $50,000 credit line. And for like a year, I would go to, because let me go back a little further. It used to just be Atlantic City because I'm not a flyer. I've been to Vegas one time, which is the irony of all this gambling I've done. I've been to Vegas one time to do something with DraftKings. So I would drive up to Atlantic City. There was a period of time where I'd drive to Atlantic City and my parents didn't want me gambling and stuff. And I would go up and I'd say like I was going someplace else. I'd leave like 6 a.m., gamble all day and then come home at like 3 a.m. So I was doing like day trips, 7 hours, you know, up and back to play cards for like 10 hours. It was a sick thing. So now we get to the point where now they're doing limos because I've got this credit line or whatever. And I can just pick up the phone and be like, hey, I want to come. And they'd send a limo and I get in there with me and my boys, whatever. We go up there, big suite, whatever, you know, they pay for everything. One way or another. Like I own chandeliers in that motherfucker. Like for sure. I look at that's my TV. That's my chandelier. So I went on like some pretty big runs and then they started to get closer. West Virginia opened up a casino and I would go down there every day. Now we're only, you know, an hour and 10 minutes away from where I live. So I would go down there and I try to win a couple grand and come back. And I did that for a while. And anyways, this whole thing culminates with one weekend. I get invited to an invitation only blackjack tournament, no buy-in. You didn't have to put up any money. It was 6 people and it's tournament style blackjack. And I got really into card counting. And unless you're like a full MIT genius, it doesn't really matter if you're doing just a basic, you know, card counting system up one down. So it's tournament blackjack where you just have to beat the other people. It's like 10 hands and you beat the other people, they're going to give you $100,000. So I'm going to go up there for that. So I go up there and that was the weekend they also increased my credit line to $100,000. Okay. So because I'm a very good blackjack player and I was only trying to win small percentages based on the amount of money, because winning 5%, I give you $100. I tell you to go into a casino and win $5. It's really not that hard.
Yeah.
Nope.
Like, okay. So if I got $100,000 and I'm trying to win $5,000 or $10,000, like it's not a daunting task except for this weekend. So I immediately, like I haven't checked in my hotel room yet. I remember I won $10,000. I was trying to go for 20. My buddy who was with me tells me, let's go up to the room, take a break, whatever. I didn't want to, but I did. Went up, came out, sort of half an hour later, proceeded to lose that. And over the course of the next like 5 or 6 hours, and I couldn't even believe it because it wasn't like money. At this point, I had gone through a bunch of the money that I had. And now this was kind of like, now I'm playing a dangerous game where it's like, I've got like maybe 40, 50 grand left and I've got $100,000. Like, this is not. Yeah. This is bad. Okay. So we're like in full like meltdown, like gambler addiction mode, which I know doesn't sound like it, but I have since kicked that kind of behavior. I would never do that again.
That's good.
So I lose the money. Right. And now I'm in a situation where I got to win this fucking blackjack tournament tomorrow to be even. You know what I mean? I got to win this blackjack tournament to be even. So I lose the blackjack tournament. Immediately I go all in on the first hand. Cause I just know, like, I just gotta, you know, it was one of those things where, when you're having a bad run, a lot of times you start talking to God or you start talking to the powers that be or whatever. And you're like, you start making deals. You're like, oh, okay, I won't do this. I'll go to church every Sunday or whatever in your head. And I'm like, look, I just need to win like 3 hands in a row. If I can turn these 10,000 fake chips into 20, 20 to 40 and 40 to 80, they're not going to be able to catch me. And like
I just want to make sure I'm emotionally with you at this point in the story. You arrive to this casino with $100,000.
Yes.
and
$100,000. Well, $100,000 credit line. Like,
how much cash did you have showing up?
None.
Okay, you just have the $100,000. You win $10,000. You go up to the hotel room. You come back down. You lose $110,000.
I melt down. Yes, melt down.
You're $100,000 in the hole.
Yeah.
And you go all in on the first hand of blackjack?
Well, yeah, because it's like I just got to beat these six people, and they didn't. I just so happened to be the last bet of that.
That's fair.
So he put up $2,000. It's fake money.
No, I get it.
So he put up $2,000. This guy put up like three. This guy put up two. This guy put up four. You know, you're trying to play strategy, and I'm like, fuck it. Like, whatever. Like, yeah. if I can already get a lead, or I have to win this money.
Right.
I don't even remember what the dealer had or whatever. I lose. I'm out. Like, by the second, like, hand, I'm done. And I'm just standing there going like, oh, my God, what did I do? Now, because I'm an established player over at the Borgata, which is where this was going on, I go over to the Tropicana, and I pull out they give me a $15,000 line because they don't know me, and there's not as much money now in the place where I pointed them to, okay? Mm-hmm. So they give me a $15,000 line. I lose that $15,000.
Oh, so wait, how much are you in the hole at this point?
At this point, I am down $115,000. Now I don't have any money, and I'm very upset. And I'm like, you know, and a bad gambling loss is like, you just become, it's so wrenching. It's just like, you're
so hollow feeling.
Oh, sometimes you're crying. You're like, what do I do? Like, it's very much like probably the way an addict feels when they fucked up for the 8,000. Like, it's the worst. Okay. Well,
let me just kind of put things in perspective for me anyway. I've never had $100,000, let alone lost
$100,000.
So, yeah.
I never thought I would do that either, Jared. And that's what's so crazy about it. You go, holy shit. Like, how did this? But you also get, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a false sense of. The reason I started this story is because you had said before, California, Jared, you had said, like, why didn't you stop? And you know, when you had 5,100, you had 5,100, but then you lost it. And what, because because I've seen myself lose. It's the first time I went in the hole first. It's not the first time I lost $20,000 and then won back 50. You know what I mean? Like, so that's just part of the game. So there's been times where I've lost $60,000, $70,000. Next thing you know, I win back, you know, I'm ahead 10 before I leave. So the idea that, like, this is too much to lose, but as long as you still got money, it's like I can fix this whole problem if I just keep going, right? It's that gambler's mindset. So I lose the 15 at the Tropicana, and now I have no money. And I didn't know this, but you can take out something called a TTO, which is this trip only. It's good for an additional 20% over top of your credit limit. Like, you have a limit, but they'll give you an extra 20%. So I take that $10,000, and it is Sunday morning, and I'm completely dejected. And by this point, the players at the or the dealers, the blackjack tables, like, they know you, and I am like a nice kind of like fun guy.
Yeah.
So they don't want to see you lose. So they're like really starting to feel for the player. You know what I mean? Because I'm not like a nasty guy. I'm like, what are you gonna do? Like, when I start losing, I still want to be like affable and
Sure. But you don't want to have the outward collapse, right?
It's who I am at my core. So I'm like, oh yeah, hit me. 26. What are you gonna do? So they know I'm down on this money, and I've like confided. It started from like, now it's like, I don't know how I'm gonna pay this guy. Like, I don't know what I did. Like, I'm having like deep conversations with the dealers and shit. So they know that I'm stuck this $60,000. I've now lost the 15 at the Tropicana. I get another 10, and now it's Sunday. It's 5 a.m. I'm broke, but I have this $10,000, and I already know I'm not gonna get it back at blackjack. You know, it's gonna take too long. So I'm like, I need to get lucky now. So I walk over to the high limit slot room, and I start playing $500 slots. Now, when you're playing $500 slots, you can go to like the cage, and you can get like a voucher and put that in, so you don't have to put the money in one by one or what. But like, I didn't even know that was a thing. So this is how degenerate $500 slots is, because there's no $500 bill. And if you didn't know you could do that, this is what you do. You stumble over furious and you go, want, 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 click. $100
at a time. You're throwing $100. Yeah.
Pull a thing, diggity, 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 click, 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 nothing.
Is this like a Wheel of Fortune slot? Or
the cherries and the fucking bells. This is insane. They pay out more often as opposed to the other ones because of the whatever. So I end up winning like $5,000. I win $15,000, which I'm going to have to pay tax on and justify because they give you like a sheet and they don't know you lost 100. You got to justify it. It's a whole thing. So I'm like, oh, now I got $15,000. I called my host over the Tropicana calls me and he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I missed you, Christian. I was trying to get more money than the $15,000 over the Tropicana and they wouldn't give it to me. He goes, oh, Chris, I'm sorry. And I could have got you okayed for like, you know, 30, but you already took your line out. I go, well, hey, hang on a second. I go, if I come and I pay my 15 down, can I then open it for 30? He's like, of course. So I take Borgata money over to the Tropicana, clear my line. They give me 30,000. It is now 7 a.m. during a shift change. There is one dealer. There is one pit boss, the guy who like watches over, you know, what's going on. And I go into the high limit room and now I'm just in a complete meltdown. I don't care. So I'm like, I got $30,000. I'm going to piss it away. I put $2,000 down. I win. Yay. I could give a shit. I'm down 60K. Put another 1,000 down. 2,000. I win. I bet 3,000. I win. I win. I 45 minutes later, I look down and I've got like $60,000 or $70,000. And I'm like, which I'm still not where I need to be. I go, I continue to bet whatever. And now all of a sudden there's four pit bosses. They're on the phone. They're talking to people because this is like a huge loss. You don't expect someone to walk in at six because I didn't lose it. I didn't lose it to them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I'm walking in there. And so they make me move tables. They switch dealers on me. There's security now, like eyeballing me. I feel like I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I play some more. I do this again. And I've got like a little over $130,000 in front of me. And my buddy comes over and he's like, all right, you're done. I go, okay, look, I'm going to bet the max bet you can make. That was one of the Tropicana's things where you can make a $20,000 bet. It was like the max wager they would take it. They were only the casino that would take like a $20,000 wager on a single hand. So I'm like, okay, look, I've made my money back. Everything's good. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to bet $20,000 until I lose like one. Or if I lose two in a row, if I win or whatever, I'm going to see if I can really work. Because I was just hitting everything. It was crazy. And so I made a $20,000 bet. I won it. Made another $20,000 bet, lost it. Made one more $20,000 bet, lost that. And I went, okay, I'm out of here. And I left with like $115,000 or $130,000 what I had in front of me. I gave them back their 30 grand. And now they're counting me out $100,000 in cash. And I'm saying to them, how do I get out of here? Because
yeah.
I'm not staying at the Tropicana. I'm staying at the Borgata. And I'm like, well, can you give me a car? Can you get? And they were kind of like, no. So I say to my buddy who was with me, I go, how the fuck? I'm not walking out of the people are watching me now at this.
Yeah, point. Right. Sure.
What am I going to? So he goes, I got to go off camera for a second to grab this. He framed this for me. Hold on. So he goes to the gift shop and he gets this bag. Okay.
This Tropicana gift bag.
Rinky dink Tropicana gift bag. Okay. And we put $100,000 in cash into this fucking rinky-dink bag. He saved the bag, and it says, this bag was used to take $100,000 in winnings from the Tropicana on 10-10-2011 by Christopher Colosi. It's a very, very nice keepsake. So we have this bag, this rinky-dink, for the listeners. It's like a bag that you might get your groceries from or whatever. And we are standing on the side of the road hailing a cab. Okay, we're hailing a cab. We get into a cab. It's taking us back to the Tropicana. And the, you know, they make small talk in the cabs. The cab driver's like, so how'd you do, man? And I'm just I'm like, oh, they got it all.
Right, yeah.
Oh, they got it all. They ripped my heart out. Like, I'm doing a whole thing. And my buddy's laughing. I'm like, how am I going to eat? We finally get back to the Borgata. Where there is like, you know, there's no security. We're under the overpad. The door's right there. I get out. I reach into my bag. I go, I actually won $100,000. I give him $200 tip and I go inside. Because as sick as I am, I actually won $100,000 to $200. But the $200 isn't real money to me.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? That's it's like change. It's like, so yeah, I'm like, yeah. I go to the blackjack table where I lost all the money. Walk over to them all sad. They're like, so how'd you do, Jared? I go, I just won $100,000 from the poor guy. I poured it all over the table. They're like, is that Tropicana money? Oh, we love Tropicana money. Paid it back. Went back home. Great weekend.
And then, cool.
and then I never went back to Atlantic City again.
Chris, I've been nervous to have you on the show. And I'll tell you why. Because when talking about something like gambling, I was always concerned that you would tell some romantic gambling story that would make me feel like, A, I've been missing out on something my entire life, or B, make me then want to start gambling. And I don't think there's a single person listening to you that's going to pick up gambling after this.
Hey, listen, if this sounds like something you want to get in on, go to patreon.com/Colosi and get in on some of this action.
If this sounds like something you want to get in on, we'll provide in the bio below a link for Gamblers Anonymous, because if anything Chris has said has given you the idea that you should get into gambling, please, please call this hotline.
But all that's changed. It's changed so much because
No. We're just fucking with you.
It's no longer about, like, I'm okay right now, meaning, but since I've slowed all that down, I've reined that in.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know what, making a couple $100 a day, it's pretty fucking sweet, and started to do it that way from the comfort of my own home. It's gone way, way better. And now I've got some money to throw around. And that's another thing that I was saying is I don't mind. Most people don't want you to get into their pocketbooks or anything like that. I feel like that's the most important thing, because I feel like the majority of these gamblers, they give you these picks, they give you these things, but they're losing money. They're not even telling you about it.
Yeah.
It's like, I want you to know, like, hey, I had a bad day. Currently, I'm ahead. I've got, like, I don't know, $50,000-$60,000 to my gambling pot that I've built up right now. Like, I'm doing good. And so now that could all go to shit. But again, if you see that coming, because I have that chart. And so if that chart goes like this, and that chart goes like this, and that chart goes, you can still make money by coming in and being like, yeah, fuck him and his picks or whatever. So I just want it to be a fun thing where it's like, ride me. Sexual. Ride my picks, and if I do well, you do well. If I do shitty, you know, you might do shitty, but it's fun, because at the end of the day, it is hard to win. And I do believe that if I'm gonna lose money, if you're gonna start gambling, any of you, you will lose more money on your own than if you were doing what I was doing, because I'm better than you. Is kind of like, you might have lost $500 on your own. I'll get you out of there minus 200. I'd love to get you up, but you know, it's one of those kinds of things. I make no claims. No, there's no 5-star locks of the week. There's no bet your mother's house and put it all on black. There's none of that. It's here's what I'm doing. If you want to follow along. So far, since I've started this thing, I'm ahead just under 13,000. But after today, I might be up just over 15 on this most recent whatever. So if you were with me from the beginning, you know, I've gotten a 150% multiple on the 10 grand I started with. So too would you if you came along.
We definitely learned a lot from Chris today. Chris, thank you for coming on the program.
I loved being between two sterns. I will do this anytime. I don't just bring gambling to the table. I'm a fucking ball of talent, guys. I'm a ball of talent. I do YouTube videos. I fucking stand up. I sing. I do everything. But thank you guys very much for having me, honestly and truly. And I do like what you guys are doing.
We'll be happy to have you back on at some point.
Absolutely.
Take time. And guys, anyone that knows me, because I'm going to post this on my Twitter, you know, stuff and my 1,500 followers or whatever, keep watching the show and keep listening to the show, because it is very funny. They're two very funny and talented comedians. I myself actually do listen to it every single week. You may have come by to see what I'm talking about because you know me, but you should know them too. And I'm out later.
Thanks for the shout out, Chris. Appreciate you. That
was
a roller coaster.
Yeah, that was a ride right there, man. I feel like I lost and gained a lot during that entire conversation.
It is clear that Chris is made to be digested with all of your senses.
Yes.
Because watching Chris or listening to Chris is just not enough. You got to really visualize the whole package. So we will have the full Chris interview up on YouTube. We'll do a YouTube version. And I think that's something we'll do with all of our guests.
Drive people to the content, man. Drive people to the content.
Exactly. By the way, Did your brain melt just a little bit when he said that he lost over $100,000?
Yeah. That's money I've never seen or thought of in my life. I mean, that's to be able to have access to that kind of, yeah, to have lost $100,000, to have gained and lost $100,000 over the span of a week.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I was living in a garage in Inglewood, and I'm listening to this guy talk about, it hurts. It hurts me. Like, if this, here's how I know that I'm a little bit more than half Jewish.
Is right.
Because it hurts me physically to hear this.
Yeah, to have 3 Jewish ears listening to that and just, yeah.
Did you say 3 Jewish ears?
Yeah.
It's funny.
1.5 Jews.
I know. It's funny. I don't know if we throw it in the podcast, but we can talk about next week coming up. Connor's going to be in town. So if we want to have Connor on the podcast, we can do a little Q&A with Connor. I figured it'd be nice to bring my brother in. He can do a little bit of, like, from his perspective, because he's listened to every episode.
I want to know when this couples therapist is happening.
So Ariel has agreed to it. We were originally going to go next week, but our schedule's a little busy, so I think this plays out really well. She's stoked. She's listened to every episode. She's really excited to do it.
And just know that you have more great guests like that coming up on Between Two Sterns. That'll do. This has been a long episode. That'll do.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.